Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we just thank you right now for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and the forgiveness of our sins so we can boldly come to the throne of grace, being able, Father God, to first praise you and thank you for this day. This day that you gave us your strength, you gave us your breath, that we have the golden opportunity, Father God, to mature in Christ. I thank you, Father. And I thank you, Father God, as you use me as a vessel. Use me, Father God, as you will. Father God, that I may be able to decrease in my flesh and, Father God, in my attitude and anything that is carnal. Father God, that I may mature in the Holy Spirit to operate in the Spirit. I thank you, Father God. And as I speak, Father God, let these words that you have imparted in my heart, Father God, be words that carry a powerful influence of change, a transformation, Father God, to be more like Christ. I thank you, Lord. I pray for everyone, Father God, on this line, Father God, and even those in the world, the countries, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the family, and each individual that is a part of these entities, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, a transformation will come. As the old gospel song, Father God, a change is going to come. I'm expecting with, Father, great expectation that a change is going to come, that truly will be transformed to be more like you. Bless everyone, Father God, in all their needs, all that is significant and important to them that lines up with your will and your purpose and your assignment. For you gave us all the same measure of faith. In that faith, Father God, we can have ever-increasing faith when we trust you, Father God, when we trust you with all of my heart and soul and lean not to our own understanding. Truly, Father God, we will begin to move in our purpose. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You know, I've been away a skip, but I really, really feel that God is moving in me as a man. And this show is about the development of man, developing as men that we go forward and be all that God intended us to be. Too often we see around us now that people are falling by the wayside, especially our males, because now they are losing sight of the big picture. But this is because I believe that we lack the maturity needed to be able to truly operate as God intended us to be as men. Our first quote for the day is a person must examine himself in order to be able to be all he needs to be. So as long as you're looking outside of yourself, you don't take a good look inside yourself. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit had given me some time ago, we cannot allow external factors to control our internal stability. But we know that that's happening today. People are very, very, very reactive versus being proactive by allowing the Holy Spirit to guide them. Rick Warren says that maturity is when you live your life by your commitments, not by your feelings. Feelings have their place. This is true. They are the indicators that let you know something is wrong or right, and not in the sense of legalism, but more so something is out of balance. But when we learn to operate out of our commitment to walk in line with God's word, we begin, as I said with the quote from Proverbs, we begin to have that abundant life. We begin to heal in many areas so our feelings won't be the thing that control us, but be led by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You can't be mature if you don't know yourself. Experience, failures, and reflection will bring you to what you need. Once you begin to reflect on your life and acknowledge those experiences, those highs and lows, failures, disappointment, they should bring about a better visual of what direction you need to go, especially when you allow your mind to be led as Christ did, of having this mind of the heart of Christ. You must be willing to open up your mind. I note that I said to someone today that when your cup is full, you can't receive anything else. So truly, when we take those experiences and those failures and disappointments from this and reflect on it, we begin to recognize the importance of examining ourselves, and we begin to mature. We begin to grow. Maturity is when you stop making excuses and start making changes. Roy Bennett. Change is difficult for many of us, especially sometimes when it comes down to how men are conditioned. I won't necessarily say this is an innate thing in them, but how we are conditioned to deal with change. Now, we may like change as long as we think there's an immediate gratification, but true mature change requires us to really take a close assessment of ourselves and stop making excuses. We saw the first man make an excuse in the beginning when God approached Adam and Eve in the garden. Adam, first thing he said was, "It was the woman you gave me." You see, we can't make excuses because excuses causes us to avoid the reality of our responsibility. Hallelujah. Maturity is when your world opens up and you realize that you are not the center of it. When we think of ourselves as the center of it, pride sets in. And pride before the fall, as the word would tell us. We have to be very careful not to let pride dictate and regulate our lives. We saw that in the fall of Satan because pride set in, because he believed he was the center of life. He was the center of his of the world. He was the focus, and we see he's been on a mission ever since to try to pull us all in, and one of the tools that he used is to get us caught in our pride. So we must recognize the importance of not allowing ourselves to believe, as the word would tell us, think of ourselves more than we ought to. The scripture now tells us in Malachi 6:8, he has told us, "O man, what is good? What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, to love and show kindness, and to walk humbly with your God." We must be willing to walk humbly with God if we are to mature as men. We must walk humbly. Humility is a very tough thing for a lot of men. But again, because of the pseudo-ideals that the world conditions us to believe, we sometimes hesitate to be men of humility. We think it's a sign of weakness, but truly it is a sign of strength. Jesus was the ultimate man to display this characteristic trait. To walk in humility, say you have more control. The scripture tells us one of the fruits is self-control. I believe self-control is in line with this, allowing the Holy Spirit to control us. And therefore, we retain, we restrain ourselves from being impulsive. And that's something that we have to recognize. 1 Corinthians 13:11 tells us, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, and when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. That's very difficult because one would not consider themselves a child if they're 40, 50 years old. Even nowadays, some see themselves even more mature at 18 or 19. But there are those childish things that we do, and those childish things usually cause us, again, to not be very accountable and responsible. But when we move away from the childish ways, our whole thinking process begins to change. And that change is supposed to help us to be able to recognize what is really important, what is really, really meaningful, and let go of the meaningless things that hinder us from making our progress as we try to mature. Scripture also tells us in 1 Timothy 3:2, therefore, an overseer must be above reproach. The husband of the one wife, sober mind, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. In the army, we would say, you get to know one, you do one, you teach one. You have to begin to know. The scripture tells us that my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. We have to strive every day as men to try to become more mature. And the way you come mature is taking the experience and the knowledge that you gain through the course of your life to utilize it in order that you may be able to be one who can be above reproach, meaning that now you don't have to feel bad because now you're consistent in your convictions. You don't have to feel that shame because now you stay consistent in your commitments. You begin to recognize the importance, as he said, a husband of one wife. You don't need multiple wives. My brother used to always tell me, if you find the right woman, one woman is enough. I truly have come to believe that. Sober mind. You know, the scripture tells us, he doesn't give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That sober mind to allow the thought processing center to operate out of wisdom, that you become a wise steward in your decision-making ability. And respectable. Once you strive every day to be respectable to others and to themselves. It's an old saying from the Staple Singer song, if you don't respect yourself, how you think anybody else going to be able to hoot about you? You got to be able to respect yourself, too. Because once you respect yourself, you can respect someone else. First Timothy 4:8 tells us, for while the bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Godliness. This is how we begin to evolve and grow as men. So it's so essential, as the scriptures tell us, and as the quote provides for us, that we begin to recognize the importance of spiritual maturity. Our last show, as I was on, is our manhood is not defined by the world. However, this show is going to center more on the maturity of manhood, within manhood. It is so important that we begin to recognize this level of maturity. Again, we cannot operate as a child. We cannot think as a child. We cannot respond as a child. But if we look at the world today, we can see that's what's happening, that you don't see the things that what a truly mature man would do. A mature man would not kill just senselessly. A mature man would not abuse his wife. A mature man would not neglect his children. A mature man would not be a part of the gangbang and the drive-bys and all the things that we see that are outward behaviors of one who internally is unstable. And this is why it's so important for us to move forward. But as I pointed out in the previous show, when I was a younger man, these words wasn't a part of my vocabulary. It was just, you be a man. Considering that no one ever defined manhood to me, nor was it even defined in the circle of me and I was associated with. Something's wrong with that picture. So vicariously, I had to get what I needed from these men in order to recognize the importance of what it meant to mature as a man. In my adolescent years, I saw men just carry out certain acts, and they would do those mechanical things, change tires, cut grass. And in my teens, I noticed that it was about dating girls and hanging out with the older people who seemed to be together, but in reality, maybe they were compromised. These visual things seemed to be more external possessions and not internal maturity. And if many of the men who may be more seasoned today, as they reflect back, you can look back and see that this pretty much confirms itself. When I think about it, I saw a young girl in the feed on the internet. She was 13 years old, and now she's been accepted into medical school. 13. Not so much because she's academically, intellectually sound. But she had a profound statement that was so significant. She said that I learned time management. I learned how to manage my time in order to still do those kid things that she liked to do, but all those significant, important things that she knew one day she would have to do. See, so if the circle that you're around can have such a powerful influence on the decisions you make. And we don't like sometimes to give credit to that, but the power of subliminal messages have such an impact that it can change the nature of God's design and plan for us, for our lives. However, as some things come, because it's a part of the environment, it's a part of the conditioning, in my 20s, I began to change a little bit as I prepared to become a husband, a provider, and possible a father at the time. So as I saw those people of more seasoned years display certain behaviors as to what you needed to do, you go out, you get a job, you get yourself a home, and you go and do all those external things that give the image to society that you are a mature man. But behind the scenes, which I see so much in counseling, so much I've seen in the military, so much I saw in my travels, behind the scenes, behind the closed doors, behind the door, within the house, immaturity was being displayed. Immaturity was being displayed. Communication was compromised. Relational connection was being severed. There were things that were happening that affected the way men interacted in their household. So the image becomes changed. So now we look up and there's a reality check. The earlier meaning needs to be redefined. This redefined, if you will, so significant that it changed the meaning of manhood. You have to look at it from a different lens. Once when I looked at it from the old throwaway Kodak lens, which basically gave me a very narrow perspective, now had to be redefined through the canon power lens. meaning that I had to get a broader view, a panoramic view, in order to really see what it means to move into the roles, the status, and positions that is recognized by society as being a mature man. This had a significant impact. But it's still because our association as men, not connecting to one another, not relating to one another in the more intense way that God intends for our knowledge, wisdom, understanding that has been gathered through the course of our spiritual journey onto one another, seems to be compromised. See, I believe that the primary goal for us is to mature as men. So again, it's not about being right in the eyes of man, but more so getting an understanding that it's right in the ways that God wants to know his truth, how to conduct our life from his life or his meaning of life that he first planted this seed in us in the first place. If you question that God didn't have a plan for us and that God wanted us to represent him in his image, Genesis 1:27 says this: so God created man in his image. In his image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I do not believe, as I begin to develop and mature in my walk, I do not believe that God wanted us to represent him in a worldly fashion. Now, again, I'm evolving and growing. I wish I could tell you that I've reached a level of maturity, this level of, I'll use this word loosely, enlightenment, if you will. I'm nowhere near that. But I'm getting closer to a higher level of understanding as I engage myself in understanding God's word, because I now study it and meditate on it and discuss it and take in more information, because, again, my cup now is not so full. In my meat, but more so my cup is half full and sometimes empty, so I can receive that information that those who have grown and matured and truly are trying to walk in line with the word of God to help me continue to mature in my walk, maturity in my manhood. Therefore, as we move forward from our foundational basis of manhood, I'd like to entertain another perspective that moving towards manhood, towards maturity within manhood. This is essential because if we are not maturing in our walk with Christ, that we are not maturing at the higher level of manhood either. If you know, in our lives today, many of the shootings, the things we see that are out of control is because, again, something has been compromised. Well, we're finding people more so now where their people are shouting off the rooftop, where is our strong fathers? Where is our strong husbands? Where is our strong leaders in the community? Where are they all gone? Sometimes I know that these men wasn't the perfect men, but I have a kind of an external visual of the Martin Luther Kings and the Malcolm X, the John F. Kennedys, and the people who represented leadership, and they too were fathers and husbands. Now, were they the perfect men on the planet? Absolutely. Their flesh got in the way. But this much I know. They were willing to die for their cause. They were committed. They were standing to their convictions. And whatever it took to make change in a positive way, they were willing to do it. And this to be proved because those three men I just mentioned died on their mission. They died doing their mission. They did not compromise that. They did not change the way that they knew what they were called to do. And as we see our women moving into their independence, we see many of our men moving into dependence. Something's wrong with this order. Somewhere along the line, we're not seeing our men. And this is no, if you will, blast on men or disregard of men or disrespect of men, because I feel I'm as man as they come. But there is an outward change that is happening. We're seeing more men now in question whether or not they are representation of just the ideal old man that we used to see, those ideals of the cowboys, the football players, and this stature of strong strength and character and power. So now we're seeing, even from an anatomical standpoint, that we're seeing men, now you question whether or not there's any masculinity in them at all. And not just the external attributes, but just the way that they conduct themselves from the inside out that you see on their outward behavior. So it's so important we begin to recognize this question, where are they gone? Because somewhere during the period of the 1940s to 50s, our nation lost the idealism of fatherhood. Well, I would say for at least during that time frame, it would appear that men at least impression of what father, husband, and community leaders look like. Consider, if you will, like the wizard who stood behind the curtains in the Wizard of Oz, at least gave the impression of what men of power status would be, who would be accountable and responsible for the people of the land. However, I would say that that was limited as well, but at least we had a working foundation of what manhood looked like. I reference the Wizard of Oz because the people in the community, if they said the color for the day, if the wizard said the color for the day is green, the color for the day was green. If he said the color for the day was blue, the color of the day was blue, because the people followed the leadership, even if he was behind the screen and they only heard a voice. How powerful it is, a voice, where what command comes from. When God said, let there be light, it was light. But now the voices of the men cry out with such level of weakness and shallowness and insecurities and doubts that who would follow these men? And we have to ask the question, because now with the men being pulled out of the home from the periods of the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s and going on, who do they have as a model? As women begin to become more independent and striving, and there's no knock to that, because God made woman and male and female, so therefore she too must move forward to do and become who God intended her to be. But there's supposed to be a hierarchy that exists, and now that hierarchy gets compromised because she has to play two roles. And sometimes she's not mature enough herself to play both of those roles, because if her background was compromised, then too she can do nothing but bring herself compromised principles and standards and ideals that will compromise those who she is rearing. And without the openness of having her cup half full, she too will end up not being able to get more than she needs in order to provide what others need. So we see this division, this house that is being divided, that cannot stand. And so the scripture tells us in Malachi 4:3, he will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the hearts of the children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. The focus during this time was the prophet Elijah, who was restore or turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their father, and God would not curse the land anymore. But we can look and see, as the world is going in pure chaos, we can see that the land appears to be being cursed, if you will. And the fathers are not able to relate children, and the children are not able to relate to the father. And the fathers now who has a mother in the household with them and known as his wife, they can't even relate. So now the mother can't even relate to the children. And so everything becomes compromised. At any time you got poison in, poison going to come out. Any time that you have something divided, it cannot stand. So what does that mean? There is no wholeness. There is no wholeness. So we need to recognize the importance of what it means to mature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We are seeing a change, hallelujah, in attitudes and the goals now that once was so important to make sure that we have our leaders who are in their homes and the corporation, the church, and the community become more concerned with the offspring instead of their own personal goal. We are seeing a change in attitude where instead of our leaders, fathers, and men serving the vision of God, they are taking God's given resources, gifts, and talents to serve their own vision, not for God or his people. We see this every day. I was watching a show the other day, and it was talking about that technology would take over man. And so one group of people wanted to use the technology to help man, and the other concurred. But as he began to develop this power and this resources, man was not important anymore. He used the same technology that was supposed to help man to destroy man, all for his own personal gratification. This is so important because we need to pay attention to how we're presenting ourselves, how we conduct ourselves. What is our attitude? What are we doing in this walk to truly mature in Christ? where it would appear that the success of one's salvation justifies the cost of the wounded lives that shatter people's hope and trust in mankind. Where we see justice, mercy, integrity, and love are now being compromised for temporary gratification. Where the bottom line is based on money, power, fame, and the results of number accumulation. It's all about the numbers, not about the people. This is so important when we look at the significance of the external resources, the external factors that govern our conduct, our attitude, and our perspective of moving away from God to become our own little gods, as Pastor would say, the little G's. But we cannot love no God greater than the God we know that is connected to Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 6:10 tells us, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is though this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many fangs. So you see, we begin to drift away. We lose sight. And once a man is blind, he can't see. Luke 12:15 tells us, and he said to them, take care and be on guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. But this is the way we're moving. This is more important. As we look at the internet, the social media, the TVs, things in society, we see that this has become the priority. The vision of having the big homes, the big cars are being recognized. We're seeing people so desiring so much to serve the worldly God that they're even changing their own makeup. Their original makeup that God intended for them to look like, they're changing, not for medical reasons, but just for vanity reasons. Everything's being changed. This, too, goes back to when I was a child. I thought as a child. I reasoned as a child. I acted as a child because I'm operating out of childish worldly ways. 1 John 2:16 says, for all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride and possessions is not from the Father, but from the world. It confirms what I'm saying. See, many people say that the word is confusing, that the word is conflicting. No, the word confirms itself. It don't have to validate itself. It confirms itself each and every day. You know, I should say that. It doesn't have to validate itself to man because it confirms itself. We just have to be willing to do our due diligence to study it. So what does this have to do with maturity within a man here? One thing that's when you are not mature on this developmental journey as a man, manhood will present a limited presentation that results in the previous points that I just point out. Because many of these points present, if you stop and think, wouldn't be anything that looks like the image of Christ, and it would not be how Christ represented his heavenly Father. And I would even go so far as to say it wouldn't be the image of Christ's earthly father, Joseph, either. Things are changing. And we have to do something. I like to go back again to those three men, John F. Kennedy, Martin Luther King, and Malcolm X. We have to be willing to die for something. You know, some people will say if you don't stand up for something, you fall for anything. I say if you don't stand for something, you will die to everything. So we have to begin to recognize the importance of maturity. So what is Christian maturity? Before we consider how to progress in spiritual maturity, we need to define several terms. The word frequently translated perfect in the King James Version of the Scripture is often and correctly rendered mature. In more recent versions, our old English word mature is defined as a state of full development. Full development. Would you be able to ask the question, are you moving towards that full development, or are you just going along to get along? Are you just passively moving through life? Are you a wonder in generality instead of being a meaningful Pacific? You have to ask these questions. We don't like to ask these deep questions. Sometimes I was on my prayer call this morning, and so I presented something of depth, so the person responded back with something that was on the surface, and I had to say to her, no, I'm talking about something more deeper than that. We have to begin to dig. We have to be willing to be the scuba divers. We have to be the archaeologists that dig deep to find real meaning. The Greek word Paul uses, teleos, has a special technical meaning. It signifies an end, a goal, a limit. It is combined dual ideal, first and the full development of one's power, and second, the attainment of some goal or standard, realization of the proper end of one's existence. Why are you here? Why are you here? Many people ponder, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Well, first thing off the top, we know we are here because we were created by God. And he had a purpose, and he had meaning, and he had an assignment for us to do. Jesus didn't sat down here to have no meaning and no purpose and no assignment. He came here with a specific mission. He was mission-driven. This is moving to a full maturity. If we recognize through the scripture that Jesus didn't step out, you know, they talk about Buddha and some of the other Hindu people and Buddhist folks that were kids, and they worshiped these kids. They did not move to a spiritual maturity or a physical maturity. But Jesus didn't even move till he was 30 years old. You know, in the insurance industry, they do not even recognize you as being mature until you hit the level of 25. Because the frontal cortex, where we develop belief and standards and principles and ideals, has to get there, where we have that emotional control center, needs to mature. Jesus didn't even move till he was 30 to move on an assignment. So he took the time to move towards full development. So our word mature has come to mean a full growth, and implies a rightness in character and an experience. It is used as a full development of adulthood as compared with the immaturity of childhood. Oh, nobody wants to hear that they're immature and they're lacking. Oh, no, that ain't part of the vocabulary. See, we can consider divide the individual in a few categories. The beginner, those who were making progress, those who beginning to attain maturity, and those who reach full maturity. They move away from little children to become young men and mature men. Young men move into mature men, and mature men should pass it back in order to help them in their development. The word perfected can be used of our Lord in absolute sense. For during his life on earth, all his power reached their full development. He completely fulfilled his Father's will and attained standards of perfection applied in his Father's will. He also attained the goal for which he came to the earth, to redeem the world of the lost men and women. He knew his purpose. He knew his assignment, and he grew to prepare for that mission. Are we being prepared? You know, parents today are afraid to prepare their children for what they need to do. They're afraid. Yes, I say afraid. Because if the child just even think about rebelling and thinking about resisting, the parent will now come with the worldly concept and say, well, Bobby, I'll give you what you want. Oh, I'll buy you what you want. I'll take you where you want to go. Versus setting a hard set standard that says these are the things you need to do to fully mature, to spend that time, to turn the TV off, to turn off the music, take the headset off their ears, and cause them to sit down and begin to develop on who they need to be. As when I go back to that young girl, which I'm so proud of, that she knew what she needed to do. She still had fun, but she understood the importance of what time meant. Time is the only commodity that you cannot get back. So you need to be, as you're given the opportunity, because no one knows the day or the hour, as you're given the opportunity, you need to understand the importance of time. This young girl understood that. Not our young men, this young girl. So that was so profound when I read. This is what stayed in my head when I read the article. She understood the importance of time. Jesus understood the importance of time. He said, I won't be before you long. 33 years is not long. But he understood the importance of utilizing his time in order for him to go out and do the mission. So the word maturity is used of us. However, it is not absolute but relative. It is comparing a child with an adult. The word perfect in the book of Hebrews does not hold out the promise of more perfection on earth. If it were attainable, how could we keep on progressing towards maturity? It has been pointed out that perfection always has another high point. But the poet Coolidge says, beyond what is found in Christ, the human race has not and will not progress. Another way of looking at perfect or mature was one who has no longer who is no longer a novice, but one who has had mature and was fully initiated and had mastered the secrets of their own mysteries in their spiritual growth. As Paul used the term, it is meant mature and complete in Christ. Viewed from another angle, spiritual maturity is simply Christ-like. We are as mature as we are like Christ and no more. He was the only fully mature man. His character was complete, well-balanced, here's a key word, well-balanced and perfectly integrated. Well-balanced, that is so important. He understood who he was a part of the Godhead, but he also knew that he was in a flesh and what was needed in order to deal with those in the flesh, which is us. And he integrated the spiritual maturity through the Holy Spirit to be able to operate and simulate into the world what was needed for us to grow. All his qualities and capacity were perfectly attuned to the will of his Father, and this is the model, the standard God has set for us. Men, we need to recognize. We need to recognize how we complete and move towards our higher level of character, to find the balance and perfectly integrate God's teaching, that which we gain academically, that which we gain from our experiences, and that which we gain from the wisdom from it all, to be able to assimilate into the world the representation of being the image of Christ. It was he who also gave some of the apostles, some of his prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the work of service. There are roles and positions and statuses that are needed in order for people to prepare for the work of service, the work of service, the work of service. As I told, spoke the other day, we are here to be used but not to be misused. Your usefulness is your service. It's your service. If you're not willing to serve, you should not even be served. If you're not willing to give, you should not get nothing. No man should not eat if he's not willing to work. And not just physical food. You see, many people, I heard a story about somebody went to a person who played the piano at a concert, and he said, "I wish I could play like you." He said, "No, you don't." He said, "Why you say that?" "Because if you did, you would do what I do to get where I'm at." Most people want the rewards. They want the benefit. They want the gratification. They want the recognition. But what are they willing to do? And again, as I go back, what are you willing to die for? You don't have to physically die. Sometimes you have to die to your flesh, die to your own will in order to attain, in order to achieve that which God called you to do. Because many people, we can look at that same musician, that may be their act of service. And they have matured in that level. So there's so many things that we as men need to recognize the importance of moving forward. Ephesians 4:11-13, if you will, confirms what I'm saying. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up, may be built up. So again, as we mature, we go to build others up. We go to, again, to give our act of service until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is what we as men should be striving to do. I cannot believe in my heart and in my mind that if we move in this direction, that we would not see a more positive change. See, the supreme goal of church is not just evangelism, important and dispensable as the ministry is. Paul states that the ultimate goal when wrote, "Who proclaim him, teach everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect, mature in Christ," Colossians 1:28. God's purpose is to produce disciples who reflect the perfect humanity of his Son, people who are able to react to the need and trials of life in an adult and not a childish manner, meaning adult situations with adult reaction. In short, God's purpose is to produce people who fulfill their humanity and become what God designed them to be. So as I part out today, I'm going to keep it short. There are a few areas I believe are essential for us to consider as we develop towards maturity and our manhood. There's spiritual maturity, psychological maturity, emotional maturity, physical maturity, relational maturity, social maturity, and financial maturity. These are the key seven areas that pretty much govern most of our lives. When we develop that well-balanced, checked and balanced kind of mentality and begin to move towards this level of maturity, I believe that we will see a transformation in men that will be explosive. I believe we will see men now conducting themselves that truly, as the father to the, as the father to the son and the son to the father, there will be a different type of relationship, a respectful relationship, a loving relationship, a community relationship, a working relationship, that now, as a father prepares his son to go into the world, he truly now will have the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to rightly divide God's word of truth in order that he be able to be one who has who now is in the position that one would follow. See, some people say, I'm not a follower. Well, if you can't follow, you can't lead. But why would I follow someone who don't know how to follow, but truly don't know how to lead? And that comes from a person who has matured in these seven areas that I'm speaking on. If one was prepared in these seven areas, let me repeat them, spiritual maturity, psychological maturity, emotional maturity, physical maturity, relational maturity, social maturity, financial maturity, do you know what a man would look like? Oh, my goodness. No more debt. Because when you get in debt, you're a slave to the master, the lender. He becomes your master. No more outbursts and reactions that fills our prisons because you lack emotional maturity. Physically, men would look youthful. Their youth would be renewed like the eagle. So you don't have to look broke down, dragging yourself alone. Jack O'Lane, to his 90s, was still achieving great feats. In his 60s, he was still pulling 60 boats shackled from Fisherman's Wharf over to Alcatraz. This is miles, people. Relational. Now communication is more bonded. It's more sealed. What God put together, no man can pull asunder. Psychological. We would not now let our mind be diverted from all these distractions because we're now psychologically mature to no longer act like children and be reactive. We as men may not change the world, but when we begin to change ourselves, we will see the world change because we look more like Christ than we do like the world. So next week, I want to address each of these areas with the hope that we will cause a stimulation that will show the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through us to change our mind, will, and emotion, that we become more like Christ, that he will continue to create us a clean heart, renew the right spirit in us, that we begin to truly, as I always say, to be image bearers of Christ, to be that mature man who is well-balanced and who has integrated all that he needs to follow God's will. But again, and at that point, we have no bones about what Mark 10:35 and 45 said. Jesus explained that he came as a son of man to give his life as a ransom. For even the son of man did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. Again, he understood that he was here to be used, not to be misused. He was here to serve and not to look to be served. We put it all in perspective. But in all ways, none of this would matter if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you have not recognized the importance that he is the only one that can give you life and give you life more abundantly. He is the one that made the sacrifice to truly be your healer. He is the one who truly is the one who is your provider. And when the word tells us, but my God supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, it is Christ that is ensuring that we be blessed. He is the only one that can give you the power that he used to walk this earth. He used the Holy Spirit. Each one was being used. And he used it not to misuse it, but to make changes that would make others useful. The 12 disciples were the first example. So I believe when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart by accepting Christ as your personal Lord, this change, this transformation will begin to happen in your life. And truly, the seven areas of maturity that I spoke about as men will begin to manifest in a way that when you look in the mirror, the man you once looked at, that old man, won't look the same as that new man. Because that new man now would be the one who now is able to recap and receive back what he had allowed the locusts to take away. All you got to do is just say with your mouth, believe in your heart, and accept that he is your Lord and Savior. And these changes will begin to come. As Sam Cooke say, change is going to come. So in always imparting, it is so important if you like the things that we're presenting, and I'm not talking about emotional feel good. I'm talking about a development of maturity that you want to grow and mature. There are so many dynamic people, women and men of God that he is using and in our organization, the Kingdom Builder Development Institute, that you can come right online and get this great information, this knowledge and wisdom and understanding that God has imparted upon them to rightly divide the word of truth so you too can go forward and do what you were called to do. What is your purpose? To go into all the ends of the world and share the gospel, the good news of Christ. Also, you can contact us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com and contact the home office if you want to talk to someone directly at 313-583-9739. And please sow into the ministry, which is www.givelify.com, which is GIVELIFY.com. And again, the ministry is free. The salvation is free, but the ministry do cost. There is a price to pay. And not afraid to line one's pockets, but in order to line the hearts of men, in order that they may be able to spiritually grow and become all who God intended to be. And as always imparting, you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch the maturity that God would do within me and you. God bless you. See you next week.
Oh, what an opportunity.
Singing, oh, what a wonder.
We all have a chance to make it.
Singing, oh, what a golden opportunity.
What an opportunity.
Singing, oh, what a wonderful chance.
What a wonderful chance. We love, we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear. But we know we shall be like him. We don't have to fear.
God is gonna take us to a heavenly place. But it won't be by the works we've done. It'll be by his grace. Y'all, that'll be worth all the trouble. That'll be worth all the pain. Better be worth all the trouble. Better be worth all the shame. Oh, what a golden opportunity. Sing it, oh, we'll have a chance.
We all have a chance to make it.
Sing it, oh,
what an opportunity.
Sing it, oh, what a wonderful chance.
What a wonderful chance. That we are the sons of God.
And it's not yet. That heavenly place, and it won't be by the work we've done, but it'll be by his grace. Y'all, that'll be worth all the trouble,
worth all the pain.
That'll be worth all the trouble,
worth all the shame.
To change us from fathers and make us priests and kings. If only we can keep our minds on heavenly things.
Give us a new name.